Blog Talk Radio.
To another night of Connections Radio. I want to, as always, thank all our listeners from around the world for all the great email and comments and everything we've been getting. They come in daily. So thank you for your feedback on the show. As always, if you're a new listener, you can find out more about the guests we have coming on. And we're also in the process of adding two new radio segments besides the normal Thursday night guest series. On spiritual coaching, teaching, and those type of things, which we do every Thursday. We have two new shows that are starting in the month of February that are going to be running on a weekly basis. So you can find out more about our guests and also the two new shows by going to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. With that said, I'm really excited about the guests we have on this evening, somebody I've been studying under for almost 3 years now. As one of my teachers, and I'm going to let my co-host Pam introduce her and everything. Pam, are you there?
I am. Good evening, everyone. My name is Pam Latour. I'm the co-host tonight at, well, every Thursday night. And tonight we have a very special guest for you. She is a seminar creator, presenter, and author, and by the looks of it, she has amazing things to talk to us about. Denise, are you there? This is Denise.
I'm here, and I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. Let's start tonight, Denise, by finding out a little bit about what you do. Can you tell our audience what kinds of things you specialize in and what your passion is, what you do for people?
You know, let me take a little step back in order to answer that question. And I teach a lot of different topics, and they're all kind of in the mind, body, spirit arena. But I never, ever imagined that I'd be teaching any of it when I was growing up. Even though I'm Native American, I'm Cherokee on my mother's side, both my parents were scientists. And I wanted to be a scientist. And I probably would have become one. My brother became an astrophysicist. My sister became a marine biologist. But when I was 17, I had a very dramatic near-death experience. And as a result of what I experienced on the other side, when I came back, I wanted to know more about that place. And so that started me on a journey, a spiritual journey, to understand more about the spirit realm, understand more about reincarnation, understand more about why we are here on the planet. And so the seminars that I've taught and the books that I've written, really, although different topics, they're all focused on those very heartfelt questions. Why am I here? What, you know, what's my purpose? And what am I meant to do?
I see. Well, that's fascinating. And when is it that you woke up at 17? You wanted to know more about it. When did you start teaching?
Do you know, I have been teaching for over 43 years now. So I've been teaching for a while. I started teaching at a very young age, I guess. The first thing I taught was healing and massage. And I taught at the Adult Education Department of University of Hawaii. And I was interested in, I had met a lot of healers because I had in, I actually was shot by someone I didn't know, and it was a sniper, someone I never met before. And I had quite a few injuries when I was 17. I lost a kidney, a spleen, and adrenal gland. I lost part of my stomach, part of my intestines. I still have a hole through my spine. A 6-inch tube was put replacing the aorta. So I had a tremendous amount of damage, and the doctors had said, oh, she's not going to live very long and she's going to be incapacitated. But because of what I'd experienced on the other side, in that place of golden light and such vast beauty, that it's somehow a healing force had been activated within me, but it's a healing force that we all have. It's nothing, I don't believe anything special about me. But as a result of that, I didn't die, but I also wanted to understand more about healing. So I trained with a number of healers in various places around the world. In fact, I organized the first courses for Westerners for Hawaii Takata. Takata Sensei, or Takata, was the person who brought Reiki from the Japanese monastery system to the West. So I organized her first courses. I trained with a Hawaiian kahuna. Eventually, I trained with Native American medicine men and medicine women. Also, I spent time with the Zulu in Africa. I was adopted into a Maori tribe, given the name Fetu Manama Otarengi, where I understood about healing from their perspective. I also spent time with the Aborigines. So, over the years, I started wanting to understand about healing. I started teaching healing, and then I continued to explore healing modalities. I understood that in Native cultures, they understood about healing in a way that allopathic medicine just didn't understand. And I think there's great value in allopathic medicine, but there's also value in the ancient traditions.
Fascinating. And so you traveled all around the world, obviously. How long were you traveling?
I still continue to travel. I mean, this year I'm... Yes. But
it wasn't
I'm so
trained. Yeah, it's not just a period of time. It was something you did regularly. It's something you still do regularly.
Yeah, it is. Not to the extent that I used to, but... I still do continue to travel, and I still do continue to explore shamanic traditions. And for years I led vision quests, and based on the information that I'd gained from my own tribe, the Cherokee tribe, various Native tribes in the United States, but also in tribal traditions around the world. And so I had a passion for understanding how is it these ancient people can open the doorway from this realm into the next, and how can we incorporate that into our current lives. I even wrote a book called Quest with my daughter about how you can create your own vision quest based on the numerous quests that I led over the years, both in the United States and in other places.
Amazing. Is this what the primary focus of your teaching is at this point?
Thank you for asking me that. Probably the primary focus right now is something I call soul coaching. I train people to be life coaches as well. It's a double certification course, as well as to do past life regression. I'm one of the few people in the world that successfully regresses up to 3,000 people at a time, and it's that's where most of my work overseas has been with past life regressions. But what I've done in this course is I have filtered and distilled all the various arenas that I've trained in and studied in and apprenticed in over the years. So that's one main focus, is training people to be life coaches. How can you have a career that makes a difference in the lives of others? And teaching people how to take their clients on past life regressions. And my other passion is, my daughter and I have just completed, it's just probably completed a while ago, but it's just been published, a book called The Mystic Cookbook. And that has been and continues to be a flame in my heart in the best possible way about how the meals that we eat can be transformational experiences and how we can impact the actual on a molecular basis, how we can impact the food we eat, how we can impact the consciousness of the food we eat. So that those are my two things of, I don't know, my passions right now are my soul coaching courses and the Mystic Cookbook.
Thank you for answering that so clearly. Tell me something. On the little blurb that you sent Mark and I for the website, it says, learn how to help your dreams come true. Number one, gain clarity. Learn how to gain clarity about what you really want. Often what you think you want and what your soul really desires is different. Learn some great methods to discern the difference. Can you shed some light on that for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, the kind of coaching I teach is a little bit different than a normal life coach training in that, if you go to a coach and they'll say, what do you want? And someone might say, well, I want to get a new position at work. And so then the coach, and a good coach, will give you some strategies. They'll help motivate you. They'll inspire you. And that's great. And, you know, there's times when we all need that kind of coaching. But the kind of coaching that I teach, I work in a little bit different way. There's still the aspect of motivation and inspiration. But sometimes what we consciously desire is very different than what our soul is yearning for. Sometimes our conscious desire comes out of what we think we should want or what our parents wanted for us or the people around us or our own expectations based on childhood programming. So I've developed techniques, I call it taking people on a soul journey, where you take your client on an inner journey. They get very relaxed. And when someone enters into that very relaxed, almost semi-trance state, they step beyond that conscious mind. They step into the arena of the soul. And the soul might say, you know, actually, I don't even like this job. I really want to paint. I've always wanted to paint. So, and they might say, you know, they might say, I love this job. And, you know, so it might, the subconscious and the soul might be in complete alignment with the conscious mind, but it might not. And it's so valuable to take the time to find out, what do you really want? Or it could be the other way. Someone who's a painter and they go inside and they find out that what their soul really wants is to get into business. There's no judgment about what the soul wants or what that deep inner place inside yearns for, but it's powerful to tell the truth. And the soul loves the truth. What is the truth about what you really want? And then you can motivate and inspire and come up with strategies and, you know, take those steps and schedule it and all the regular traditional coaching. But I think the first step is, this really what I want?
That's fascinating. I love that. It made me feel very passionate when you were even talking about it. I do have a question about discerning. Is there anything that you can, any tip you can give our audience about how they would discern the difference between a conscious desire that maybe came from conditioning or environment and a soul desire?
I can give you two things. One is, it feels different. And so often we are not consciously aware because we are in our mind. But when you stop and you slow down and you relax, you get into that, not just the realm of the soul, but the realm of feelings. And it will feel right when you're relaxed. There won't be any stress around it. And so it's really valuable to tune into the body. What is the body telling you? Because the body is always speaking to us. Another strategy to find out if it's right, I guess I have three strategies, is watch for the signs, because the universe is always whispering to us. And simply being open listening to the signs. And there are literally right now, there's signs around you, there's signs around me, there's signs around all of us in every moment. But often we're just going too fast that we can't figure out what those signs are. I'll give you an example from last night. I'm driving. This is how signs work. I'm driving, and you know, we live on a twisty canyon road, and there's some place, there's no guardrails, and it's a narrow road, and there's some places where it drops 300 feet straight down. There's no guardrail. It's like the road just goes straight up and then down. And I'm driving, and I've got the radio on, and all of a sudden on this song, the words seemed to jump out at me. It was something like, slow down, take your time, slow down. And the words seemed so, it's like, is this a sign? And as I had that thought go through my head, I hit the brakes. And a millisecond later, two deer jumped off there was a cliff on one side and then a, you know, drops way down into the canyon on the other side. Two deer jumped right in front of my car. If I wouldn't have hit the brakes, I would have hit those deer. And who knows what would have happened. And so simply listening to the sign, and there's, you know, there's lots of words on radios. You might think, well, why those particular words? But I think it was because when you are open, you are receptive to hearing what the universe is trying to tell you. So if you have an idea of, is this my mind? Is this my soul? Just ask. Ask for a sign. Watch the signs. And the signs will steer you in the right direction. And then here's a third thing is, if let's say you get this message and you go, I think it's my soul, but maybe it's my mind. Is it my soul? Is it my mind? You can get really still and do a visualization. Visualize yourself following the dictates of whatever that is, that thing that you saw, and take it forward a year. Take it forward 5 years. Take it forward 10 years. And notice what the outcome is. And then you can take the thing, you know, whatever. I don't know if this makes sense, but almost always you can tell if it's right when you take it forward into the future. And sometimes maybe this message came and you think it's from my soul, but it can't be right. Sometimes things that aren't right now, decisions that don't seem right, but if we open that door a year down the road, it allows other doors to open that wouldn't have opened. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's a really simple technique, but it's an amazing technique. It's just take that into the future, and then you can see, oh, yeah, this is the right direction for me, or, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I saw this because I am not going to take this, not going to do this particular. Let me give you a personal example, if we have time.
Sure.
Is one time a number of years ago, I thought, if the creator – Great Spirit just came to me right now and said, Denise, what do you want? I'll give you anything. I was just, you know, I was in the car kind of, you know, as you do, having these little conversations with myself. And I thought, oh, my gosh, the very best thing ever would be to have a small film crew and travel the world filming kind of cutting edge mind, body, spirit, mystical things. That would be just, and doing little, you know, kind of a, shows, but it's finding, going to the top of the mountain and finding that sage. I just thought this would be the best thing ever. And here's what was so amazing, and I'm so grateful for this experience. It was about a week later, I got a call. There was this film crew from Australia, and they were traveling the world filming kind of cutting-edge mystical and spiritual things, and they wanted to know if I'd fly down to the L.A. area and they could film me. They had rented a house in Malibu to do the filming, if they could film me there. And this was talking about, I think, about past lives and regression. And I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, these people are living my dream. And it was the woman who was doing the interviewing. And she is living my dream. This is so amazing to meet someone who's living my dream. So I get down there, and it was a beautiful house, and it was a beautiful day. And then during the break, because it was an all-day filming, I was talking to her personally, and she said, and I said, oh, my God, you've got my dream job. And she goes, actually, this is really hard. She goes, every night I'm in a different hotel. I'm eating hotel food. I miss my home. All this flying is hard on my body. And I looked at her, and she was so beat up. She goes, I miss my cat. I miss my life. I'm just, you know, this is just, you know, not a dream job. And I realized in that moment, I was thinking, thank you, God, I don't want this job. Does that make sense? So
absolutely.
I was lucky that I actually saw it fit. I mean, I actually met someone. But you don't have to actually meet someone who's living your dream to find out that really isn't your dream. You can visualize it. If I would have sat down, gone into the future, and seen what it was actually like, you know,
mm-hmm.
on a day-to-day basis, you wake up, I think, you know, they were there in L.A. for 2 days, and they had, you know, they filmed me for a day, but then another day, like three different other people got filmed, and it's exhausting. And I thought, thank you, but you don't, like I said, you don't need to actually see it or meet that person. You can visualize it, and then you could say, yes, this is what I want, or actually, that's not really what I want.
I see what you mean. Denise, can we go back for just a little bit to the second tip that you had given the audience about signs? And you were talking about the sign on the radio, the song on the radio,
right.
and the words that jumped out at you. You know, the Native American culture, I know that there is a very strong belief that everything is alive.
Yes.
Now,
everything is alive.
In quantum physics, it supports that completely.
Yes.
Everything is alive. Now, are you saying on a very deep level that we have a connectedness to all things, and the more you feel that connectedness, the more clear you are on things like signs?
Pam, you have stated it so beautifully, and yes, you are absolutely accurate. And the reason I can say it so definitely is, yes, that's true, is because I've experienced it in those moments. And the doctors actually thought I died. They said, oh, she's dead, when I was 17, is the experience I had was so real. I entered into this realm of beautiful golden light and amazing, wonderful sound, and the light and the sound and the music were all the same thing. But also, everybody who'd ever lived was there, and everybody who was going to live. And here's what was, it was so familiar. It was like, this is the dream. That was reality. I'd been there before again and again. I knew I was home. And here's what was so familiar and yet seemed so strange on this side of the veil, is we were not separate from each other. There was nothing that we were not. I was forever. I'd always been. And you were there, Pam, and so was Mark. We were there all together, and we were not separate from each other. And I can't conceive of this here because, you know, you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast. We're separate. But there was nothing. And everything was filled with life. Every stone, every cloud, every table and chair has life in it, and we aren't, you know, the rivers flow through our veins, the sun rises in our hearts. We are not separate from the world around us, but I experienced it, and I only wish everybody could have that experience. I think inside of each of us we remember, but to actually have that experience means that I can go, yep, that is absolutely true. Everything is alive. And everything has life force. Everything has light. Everything has sound.
What a great message. Thank you so much for that.
Hey, Denise. You know, I'm going to kind of divert you a little bit into some of the questions about some of the programs and everything I'm seeing from your, you know, from your training centers and everything this year. And I think one of the things that I found really interesting is that you're actually, and I know you've probably teamed up like this before, or maybe this is the first time, but I see that you're doing a Divine Wisdom retreat in Arizona, February 15th through the 17th, with Doreen and Lisa.
I am, and Colette Baron Reed. So Doreen Virtue, who, as you may know, is, you know, she is very connected to the angelic realms, and when you're around her, it's almost like you can hear the angels. She has such a hotline, I guess, to the angelic realm. So she's going to be there. And then Lisa Williams, who definitely has a hotline to spirit. She's had a few Lifetime television shows, and she talks to the dead, and she's really good. Like she, people go, oh my God, there's no one else would have known that. I mean, she's one of those. And then Colette Baron-Reed is, she's the best psychic I've ever come across. She's amazing. And she's going to work with people in Sixth Sense. I mean, when I had first had a reading with her many, many years ago, at that point I'd had a, you know, in my travels, I'd had readings with the person Shirley MacLaine went to and readings with the person that the Rockefellers went to and, you know, in various places of the world. I'd get the kind of the best, and there's nobody better. Colette Baron-Reed is amazing. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing past life work. But in addition to what we're doing, we're also going to be creating a vibration, a shift of frequency. And I'm really excited about that. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that's going to be in Scottsdale in Divine Wisdom. I wanted to call it the Goddess Retreat. They said, no, it's a little too hippie. I'm like, okay, Divine Wisdom. But there's a link on my website, DeniseLynn.com. And I'm really – and it's going to be more intimate, too. So I'm looking forward to having time to connect with people there.
Yeah, I know. We're actually looking forward. We're gonna have Colette on the radio show on February 21st. So we're really looking forward to talking to her and about
she's
her.
She's amazing. She is amazing. I mean, some psychics will kind of take things out of your brain, which is fine. You know, it's a validation of that idea that we're connected. But Colette has, like, she told my daughter, she goes, you're going to get a job and you're going to have a house and it's going to be on a hill and it's going to be yellow with white shutters. That wasn't in anyone's head. That was only in the future. Does that make sense? So she is actually able to step out of the fray of thoughts and into the stream of time and to go forward and backward into that stream. She's great.
That's excellent. Yeah. So how long have you actually been doing collaborations with your daughter? It's just amazing to see the new book that just came out, but I'm also seeing some other work that you guys have worked on together.
She's in her mid-30s now, but when she was a teenager was when I was doing Vision Quest, and she actually was going on Vision Quest, which is traditional in Native cultures. The young child, as they are that kind of pre-adult, après childhood, that's the time that they go out into nature traditionally to not just test themselves, but to listen to what the Creator wants to tell them about their life. So she began going on quests. Eventually, she became a teacher, and one of the things she did as a teacher is she actually took young teens out on quests. So we wrote this book together about vision quests and the power of it. And so she was writing from her perspective as a young woman going out on quests. And so we have a section on, you know, questing with teenagers. It's kind of a how-to. It tells you exactly what to do to create your own quest step by step. But it also has some pretty amazing experiences that people who did vision quests with me had as a way to let you to validate that idea that life is not always as it seems. It seems to give you what you need. Let me give you a quick example. Crystal from England came to my course. She'd never been, in those days I hired a whole island for these vision quests. She'd never spent the night alone. She'd never spent a night outside. She'd never spent the night in the dark. She always had a light on. So here she is. She comes halfway across the world. She's out. In those days, I'd have people out for 3 days and three nights and create a circle to make their sacred space and sit there. And so she's sitting outside, and she's like, oh, what have I gotten myself into? And she's terrified, absolutely terrified. And she hears the sound of singing. And she thinks, oh, that's great, Denise. She's hidden, but she's got a tape recorder, and she's playing me music just to let me know she's here and how great. And then the song was Crystal, You're Safe. And she goes, oh, my gosh, she recorded this special song for me. And so she fell asleep. The next morning, she's sitting there, and she sees a deer. And in her mind, she says, it's okay, and she slept through the night because she knew I was there watching her, which I wasn't, and I had no tape recorder that I'd recorded the special song for. But she was open. When you're open, those kind of mystical experiences can flood into your life. So the next morning, she sees a deer, and she thinks, oh, a deer, that's wonderful. She's, for her whole childhood, she wanted to be the kind of person that wild animals were not afraid of. She said, it's okay. So this wild deer comes closer and closer. It steps inside of her circle. It looks her straight in the eye, and then it puts its cheek on her cheek. Now,
wow.
That never happens. And she can, and the soft breathing of the deer in her ear, and then the deer stepped back and looked at her deep into her eyes and then walked away. And it changed her life forever. That's why I'm so passionate about Quest. She actually has a tattoo on her shoulder and with the deer to signify that was the moment when her whole life changed. So people have amazing experiences when they're on Quest, but it's just simply taking the time to be still, the time to open your heart and say, Creator, what do you want me to know?
Now, okay. I noticed that you've been doing a lot of the online courses, and
yeah,
including the 28-week soul coaching series, which I think is you do that in collaboration with Hay House.
Right. Yeah, of my online courses are with Hay House. And you know, in Native tradition, there's the idea of the oral tradition, the idea that you actually are in, you are with someone in person. And so when this whole idea of online teaching came up, I thought, you know what, it's so alien to what I felt was the Native way. But as I delved into it more deeply, I realized that cyberspace can be sacred space. And these days, especially with the economy, so many people, they can't afford to travel. They can't afford to even, you know, rent a hotel for a course. But they could take an online course. And they've been so successful and in terms of the results that people are getting in their lives. So I'm really glad I changed my mind.
That's great. So I'm going to go ahead and take a pause here for a minute. You're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about our guests that we have on the show this evening and what other guests we have coming up this year, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that said, Denise, why don't you go ahead and share your website with everybody?
Oh, Denise, I'd love to. I'd love people to visit my website, deniselynn.com. And there are free chakra portals there to align your chakras. And there's also a healing site that healers around the world are sending energy into. And literally open it up on your computer and inhale that energy and know that there are people sending healing energy into that, and you can receive that healing energy.
Thanks for the reminder. Thanks for the info, Denise, and of course, Pamela. Thanks for the reminder. Pamela is always good at reminding me when I'm hitting the half hour mark and need to do the little advertisement. We don't do other advertisements, which is nice. With that said, let me get back to something else that I noticed from talking to a lot of my friends, and it's amazing the different people I've talked to around the world who have done your soul coaching oracle card program.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. I had a friend call me up the other day from Hawaii who's like, can I give you a reading? I just took this program a while ago and I want to do this reading. I said, did you do your reading with Denise? You know, did you learn your program from Denise Lynch? She goes, yes, how did you know? I said, well, could be I'm a little bit an intuitive, could be a little bit of something else, you know. So tell everybody about your soul coaching, your oracle card program.
Yeah, well, this is an online program to train people as a profession to do card readings, but also we do so much more in the course because it's my belief that anyone who gets attracted to this course has in past lives been an oracle. So we do work to begin to kind of go back into those past lives to activate that oracle ability and also look to see if there's any beliefs or decisions, you know, that might be blocking that ability. If you were an oracle in a past life or a mystic or a medicine woman or a medicine man or and you were punished for your beliefs, then there's a good chance there's some kind of blockage there. Well, I don't think I'm going to do that again. So we work with relinquishing those blockages to intuition, and past life work is among that, but also then activating intuition to how can you, it's not just giving a reading, but how can you really connect with that person across from you in that reading? How can you find that heart and connect your heart to their heart? We do a lot, so it's really fun. I've got a couple of oracle card sets that I created that were, I just felt like spirit was with me when I created those. And I love those people. We have a really strong Facebook community, and we just love each other. It's so much fun. So, and we get really excited when anyone joins us.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, with that, I'm going to actually hand this back off to Pam because I know she's running through the different things that we're going to learn from you today about how dreams come true and the different things we need to look at for that. So with that, go ahead, Pam.
Thanks, Mark. The only thing I want to say before I get back into that, Denise, is your website, www.deniselynn.com. Lynn is spelled L-I-N-N, not L-Y-N-N.
Thank you. I get so excited. I forget, like, really basic things like that. Thank you.
It's all right. It's just the thought occurred to me. I wonder if it's L-I or L-Y. So I looked, and I thought probably a lot of the audience would have the same question. So it's L-I-N-N, Denise Lynn.
Right.
Okay. Let's go back to what we were talking about before on clearing blockages. What you've written to us is often we are unable to achieve our heart's desire because of inner beliefs. Now I know everyone is focused on similar things on how to rid ourselves of beliefs that no longer serve us. And you've written, learn how to discover what your limiting beliefs might be and how to clear them. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, and let me take a step back. That if you want to find out what beliefs you have, simply look at your life, because almost always your life is a reflection of the beliefs that you have about what you deserve in life, about who you are. And often these beliefs come from early childhood. They come from our family. There's research that proposes that even some of these are in our bloodline. Fascinating. The ancestor syndrome is fascinating. And some of them come from past lives. And that these beliefs definitely have an effect on every, from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep. And I'll give you an example about beliefs. When people, they've changed the lottery, the way people get the money from the lottery now because of this particular thing I'm going to tell you about. But what they found out, they did research with people that won big lotteries, and they found out if someone was poor and won the lottery, 3 years later, they were exactly at the same financial level they were before they won the lottery. If they were middle class, 3 years later, they were exactly at the same place. Wherever they were 3 years later, they were exactly at the same place. So the money did not make a difference. And what they discovered was that it was a person's beliefs that were, they would sabotage the money they had until they got to their comfort level. And it's kind of like a thermometer. So if your house starts to get too cold, the heating comes on. And if it gets too hot, the air conditioning comes on. So with the money, if they got less than they thought they deserved, you know, they'd start generating something to get the money up or get their finances up. If they had more than they thought they deserved, then they would sabotage it till they got to their comfort level. So now they kind of met the money out, you know, in monthly or you know, half-yearly kind of levels because of this. But when someone believes that they – does that make sense about the comfort zone? So we each have our own comfort zone. But the comfort
Absolutely.
Zone comes from those beliefs. So there's a number of ways that you can begin to discern those beliefs. I mean, one is just to observe your life. And if you can – I remember a woman who came up to me and she goes, well, you know, all women are angry at their father. And for her, and so she had this strong, she was evidently very angry at her father. And then she would draw to her women who were angry with their father to validate her belief, her subconscious belief. The thing about beliefs is they become like so real. It's like gravity. We don't even know we're there. But we will be drawn to people that will validate our beliefs, make them right. Someone who thinks that all women are bad drivers, will, first of all, have encounters with people that are women that are bad drivers. Not that there's more bad drivers that are women than men, but because of that belief.
So absolutely.
So first of all, just look at your life. What are those things that keep recurring again and again? Chances are there's a belief associated with that. Then the next thing is to just kind of take that inner journey. I talk about the soul journeys that I train people in my soul coaching certification course, is to go back and begin to examine, you know, what did my, if it's finances, for example, what did my father believe? What did my mother believe? Have I adopted any of those beliefs? And are they true? And that's a really good question. Is this true? Because beliefs are so ubiquitous, like gravity. We don't even, do you know that gravity puts 13 pounds per square inch of pressure on our body? That's a lot of pressure. We're not even conscious of it because it's like that air conditioner that's on that we don't even know it's on until it's off. So that's kind of, we just think it's the way it is. We don't realize they're beliefs. But you could go back and say, are these the beliefs that my family had, my mom, my dad, my uncles, my grandparents, and are they appropriate for me? And so that's really good just to begin to examine what those beliefs are. And the great thing about beliefs is you can begin to find that there are positive beliefs that you have that are sustaining you. So that's always kind of exciting. It's not just the negative beliefs that are blocking you, but we all have those positive beliefs that, you know, keep us going no matter what.
I like that. You know, I teach a class that relates to beliefs, and part of the whole process is I say that it's a belief is like a filter on the camera. Every time you look out your eyes, out into the world, you're looking through a belief. So it changes your attention into the experience of whatever you're believing.
That's a great example, and that is exactly right. And you know, we think that we see the same universe. But have you ever had someone come and say, oh, look at that woman, doesn't she look exactly like, they'll mention somebody else. And sometimes you go, yeah, they look exactly like it. But sometimes I'm like, really? Not even close. And have you ever had that experience? Someone says, oh, you know, person A looks exactly like person B. And you're like, no, they don't. And
yeah,
it's because we don't see the same. We think we're seeing the same thing, but we don't, because this happens with my husband all the time. He goes, we watched a movie last night. He goes, that guy looks just like Tom Cruise. I'm like, no, not even close. Oh, yeah, just like Tom Cruise. No, honey, Tom Cruise doesn't look anything like that. But we think we're seeing the same movie, but we are seeing that movie, like you talk about that lens on the camera, through our lenses, and we have very different lenses. Everybody does.
Exactly. Exactly true. And or the person that no matter what happens finds something to get upset about. You know, they get mad about everything, or the person that gets sad about
right.
everything. You know, it's just the belief that you're looking through.
So yep.
So let's talk about how do you, we talked about how you can begin spotting your beliefs.
Right.
How do you, go ahead.
No, I was jumping ahead of myself, and then I said to myself, just be quiet and let her talk. So that's what I'm doing.
I was just going to ask you how you can use discovering those beliefs for accomplishing your dreams.
Give me an example.
Like say, the example you used earlier about what does your father believe? What did your father believe about money? And
right.
So I say to myself, I ask myself that question and say, my father thinks that only poor people are honest people. Rich
right.
people stolen money from someone.
Right.
And so that's the belief. How do I use that to eliminate it so that I can go on to accomplish my dreams, as an example?
Right. And that's a great example. That when I talked about asking yourself, is this true? And that
mm-hmm.
example of, you know, only poor people are honest people, you can just say, is this true? And if you can find even one case where there is someone who is not poor and who's scrupulously honest, you can begin to convince that place inside of you that adopted that belief. Or, you know, if someone's rich, they must have done something evil to get there, or they must have trampled over people to get there. There's a lot of beliefs out there. And we, as kids, we don't have that reasoning filter. We just accept it as truth. And so if you can find somebody, it's like, yeah, this person's rich, and they got there in a very honorable way, the caring way, everyone in their company loves them. If you can even find one example, you can begin to say, to convince yourself that that is not true. So that's a good logical way to do it. Another thing to do is affirmations. And affirmations work. So if someone, for example, is working on abundance and they find all these family patterns of, you know, you can't get to heaven, you know, a rich man can't get to heaven, which is actually a misquote of the exact quote from the Bible, but some people have that belief. Well, if you're well-to-do, you can't, you know, you'll never get to heaven. So you can begin to find affirmations that will propel you out of the limiting beliefs that you've adopted, and say them again and again. But it is not enough to say a belief. That doesn't shift anything, or very little. You have to say it to get it to shift your inner beliefs and to begin to step it up, step up into the next vibration. You need to say them with passion, like feel it. I am becoming healthier and healthier each and every day. But to feel, say if you're working on your health, to feel healthy as you say it. And then here's a few secret tips to magnify it 10 times more is, first of all, say it with passion. Say it out loud. Like, oh, my God, say it out loud. Can I just think it? You can just think it, but it's more effective if you say it. And then to change the emphasis, I am becoming healthier and healthier every day. I am becoming, because this keeps you conscious. It's not route or routine. Anyway, it's not routine. And and then use your body. And you can walk, pound your chest, high-five the sky. When you use your passion, you use your body, you use your voice, and you feel how it would feel. If you're working on health, you feel how it would feel to be healthy. This sinks deep in. It's like carving in stone this new way of being. And it begins I think of this field of grasses. And here's a pathway through the grasses that's built from your own belief of all the women in my family, you know, die young, and I'm just like the women in my family, or whatever it is. That's the pathway through your brain. It's like that well-worn pathway through these grasses. To create a new pathway, in the beginning it's hard. You got to stomp down the grasses because your mind automatically wants to go on that well-worn pathway. But as you stomp down on a new pathway of I'm healthy and vital, and the past does not need to equal the future, as you create that pathway, it allows the old one to grow over. But you need to do it strongly and passionately and to feel it to be so. And people say, oh, well, I could never do that, do it out loud. It's so embarrassing. I have walked down the beach in Miami out loud, yelling to the universe, and they probably thought I was a crazy lady, but I thought, I don't know those people. They don't know me. And to reprogram and recondition the subconscious mind.
How fascinating and inspiring. That's beautiful. And we're getting close to the end of the show, so I wanted to make sure I hit that last note, because we were talking about acting as if and using your body. You just mentioned that. The last one was let it go. Timing is everything. Can you explain that to us?
Sometimes we want something so much that we are not open to other opportunities that are knocking at our door. And sometimes the best thing you can do is you've taken the time, you've gotten clear on what you want. Yes, this is really what I want. You've taken action. You know, you've gone out there and, you know, you've done something to make, you haven't just sat around waiting for it to happen. You've actually taken some action. You've affirmed, you've begun to shift your beliefs. But letting it go, saying to yourself, to the heavens, this or something better in accordance with my highest good. And just hand it over to the Creator, hand it over to the universe, and let it go. And in doing that, it allows that that or something better in accordance with your highest good comes to you.
Oh, that's lovely. And one last question. I want to talk about the mystic cookbook that you, your daughter,
thank
this
you.
New project that is coming out, because I read this little blurb that you sent us with the picture of the cookbook, and I want to go out and buy it. It seems to me just the feeling of it is sacred food. Can you tell us about it a little bit more?
Thank you for asking, because we're so excited about the things that people are saying, and the book has just come out, but so many people are saying, okay, let me give you an example. A gal who's got the book who lives in South Africa, and she said, Denise, every year I make the exact same food for Christmas, the exact same cake. I made the exact same cake, but this year I did the techniques that you talked about for increasing the energy and the vibration, and she said, I didn't tell my family, and they all said, what'd you do different with the Christmas cake? It tastes different. And she said, it was completely gone. And she said, usually it's a week, you know, people, because there's other foods. So we're so excited. We've got a website, themysticcookbook.com, where we have lots of free information and recipes. We have a Facebook site, The Mystic Cookbook, and where we're sharing videos and lots of information that anyone could use. And also, you know, we've got the book, The Mystic Cookbook.
That's lovely. The website for that is www.themysticcookbook.com, correct?
Yes, thank you. You're good with details. I'm not so good with details, but thank you so much for clarifying that. Yes, that is the website.
Excellent. So, so really excited. And that book is available out at Barnes & Noble and Amazon at this point?
Yep. Amazon, hayhouse.com. We love Amazon because, it's available anywhere.
Great.
What did they say? Anywhere fine books are sold.
and did I see that your daughter is doing an event this year?
Yeah, she's going to be at the I Can Do It Ignite with Hay House. So that's coming up in San Jose in March. And I Can Do It, they're wonderful. They have you have all these amazing speakers in one place. So if no one's gone to anything like that, it's great because, you know, it's kind of a sampler. You get a whole lot of speakers in one place for a very low price. So, she's going to be at that.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and close the show off with talking about one of the things that I've been looking at for the last year or so, and that is your Soap Coaching course. It's held out at the ranch. Can you tell people about that?
Right. You know, I work with a very small number of people here at Summerhill Ranch, where we live in the central coast of California, with our goats and chickens, and everyone moves in with us. And all the things that I've trained and taught over the last 43 years, I distill into this training. And when people leave, they leave as professional life coaches. They leave as regression therapist, and you think, how could you possibly do that in only 9 days? Well, I use a lot of techniques where they actually go into almost like an altered state. And when you're in that altered state, you can access information so much more easily. It's the way that the ancient mystics of old worked and the shamans of old taught. It's almost like a transfusion. So, and we have fun, and we eat really well. The recipes from the Mystic Cookbook, we create that kind of vibrational intensive food, so it really supports the inner and outer growth as people are taking this training course. We've just announced it the last couple of days, and at this point there's very few spaces left, but we've got a training coming up in May and one in June. And I don't say that as advertising. I mean, every year we have a long waiting list, so because we don't.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's funny. Usually by the time I find out when it is, it's usually sold out. And I see you have two dates up on your website. One is May 1st through the 9th, and your second date for now is June 5th.
Through the 13th. Yeah, we just announced them, I think, 2 days ago, and I think there's 4 spaces available in May, and I think there's, looks like 5 spaces available in June. So there's not very many spaces left. But God only sends me, the Creator only sends me the best people, so I know who's ever meant to be there shows up. And my best friends in the world come out of these because we get to know each other so well. So I always look forward to them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think you and I could share a story from one of your radio shows with Pamela. I was listening to one of your radio shows, and is it your rooster? Is the one that's sits outside your window when you do your radio shows?
He's the funniest thing. Well, we usually, for my radio shows, I usually kind of keep the chickens kind of locked up because he really feels attached to me. And he was like the psychic rooster or something. He keeps running until he finds me, and then he'll go outside the window where my little radio setup is, and he will crow and crow and crow. Normally, I'll go out and I hang out with him and pick him up. But I'm like, oh, my God, Morgan, I forgot to put the chickens in.
And what was the story about the goat standing on top of something, or
goats standing on top of something? I don't remember that story, but I'll tell you what happened a couple of weeks. I mean, not a couple of weeks. It was a couple of days ago. Is the weather's starting to warm up here, and all the grass is out, and the goats, they love that fresh grass. So I let all the goats out. But I go out with them because we have mountain lions and coyotes and bobcats here. And I actually have one of those shepherd staff, you know, they actually work. I mean, they're great. Kind of grab the goats. But it was so warm that I just laid down on the grass and fell asleep. And Sadie, one of our dogs, I heard her growl, and I looked up, and we were on – myself and the goats and Sadie were on this hill, and right above us was a bobcat. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, the bobcat. So Sadie takes off after the bobcat, and I'm thinking, was that bobcat looking at those baby goats, or was it looking at that plump woman just asleep there on the ground? But anyway, all was well that ended well. Sadie got back fine, and the goats got in their pens fine. I don't remember about the goats being on top of something. But we've been taking wolf pee. And we take the wolf pee, if I could say the word pee, and we sprinkle it all around the goat pen. And evidently coyotes don't like wolves, so it keeps the coyotes away from the goats. It's kind of life here on the ranch.
The real question is, do you get wolf pee?
You can order online. You can order wolf pee. And, you know, we have our mailboxes on the road. So, you know, it's only happened a couple times, but someone came and they stole all the mail on our little country road from everyone. And they stole my wolf pee. And I was so upset. And the only thing I could hope was, like, they opened it up and spilled, because it really smells. I'm like, that would be karma. I hope the wolf pee is all over you. Anyway. Sorry. It's one of those evenings. I'm not staying on very focused, but it's been such a joy having this time with you and chit-chatting and meandering as I do.
Well, it's been wonderful for us, too. And the audience, I'm sure, gained so much from it, as I did.
Especially that you can order wolf pee online.
That's great. So thank you for being on this evening. And as always, it's great to hear from you. It's a great honor to have you on the show. And Pamela, thanks for being on tonight. And I'm going to close out with our song and say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and Mark and Pam, thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.